Hey, good morning, church. It's good to be with you. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we'll be looking at verses 25 through 34. The title of this message is Seek First the Kingdom. Seek First the Kingdom. Let's read Matthew 6, and we'll pick it up in verse 24 just to get some context. Matthew 6, 24 through 34. Says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we can open up your word, God, and we can just hear from you. I pray that you would write your truth on our hearts, that you would help us to receive your word, God, and that we would act upon it, that we wouldn't just be hearers of your word, but we'd be doers. And so I just pray your grace would be working in and through us, that you would lead us into more life. Have your way, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's a lot of things that Jesus said throughout the Gospels, right? When we read the Bible, we see certain themes come up. But the thing I want to look at this morning is, what is the thing that Jesus talked about most? Was it heaven? Was it hell? The cross? No, it was none of those things. The thing that Jesus spoke most often about is the kingdom of God. And it's everywhere in the Gospels. Jesus is always talking about the kingdom of God. And it's something that I want us to focus in on and hone in on today as we consider this passage. The first thing I want us to think about is how we would define the kingdom of God, right? We hear that word thrown around a lot, but how would we define the kingdom of God? Simply put, it's God's rule and God's reign. I like the way that Jeremy Treat defines it. He goes a little bit deeper in his definition. He says that the kingdom of God is God's reign through God's people over God's place. And I think the question for all of us, and the one that I think we should ask, that we would be wise to ask ourselves, is who or what am I choosing to live my life for? What is the purpose of your life? What wakes you up in the morning? Where does your heart and mind kind of wander when you have nothing to think about? Where are you drawn to? What are you drawn to? Where are you drawn? See, we all have this deep desire in us to live for something great. Many times we're told that the ultimate dream, the American dream, is to live for oneself, individual fulfillment, Pursue your dreams at all costs, your pursuits, your passions. And I think there's a certain limit that's on those things, right? Because I don't know about you, but if you have pursued something for a time, maybe it's a passion or a hobby or your work or a family, you might think that this is the answer to my happiness. This is the purpose for my life. You might look for your identity in those things, and maybe you attain a certain level of success, or you have the perfect family, you have the kids, but yet there's still something inside of you that longs for more. What Jesus says here is that we were made for a different kingdom. We were made for a greater kingdom. We want our lives to count. I believe that desire has been placed in us by God. No one sets out to live a boring life, right? We fear living mundane, small, sad lives. And this fear even drives many people to be successful, to make something of themselves, to live life with no regrets. Jeremy Treat again summarizes the problem we face. He says, if we're honest with ourselves, the internal silent prayer of our fallen hearts is, "My kingdom come." We want people to follow our agenda. We want the world to praise the glory of our names. Your kingdom come is a dangerous prayer because we're stepping off the throne of our own lives and submitting to God's agenda of bringing restoration and renewal in creation. To pray your kingdom come is to ask God's gracious reign to invade the sin-corrupted spaces of our lives and our world. Now, that's a long quote, but I love what he says there. He says, if we're honest with ourselves, that we must say, you know what? Many times our heart's desire is that our kingdom would come. We want people to know about our accomplishments. We want to boast to others about what we've done. And Jesus comes to us and says, hey, I have a better way for you. I have a way forward that's more fulfilling, that's more satisfying, that you will not regret going down this path. Jesus comes to us as a king, but not just any king, but as a sovereign king of the universe who reigns over an eternal kingdom. This kingdom will have no end. Psalm 145 verse 13 says, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The kingdom of God is really the only thing worth living for. It's the only thing that you can take beyond this life. This theme permeates the Gospels and permeates Scripture. In the call here from this passage, as Jesus speaks about worry, right? He's saying, hey, don't worry about your life. Don't chase after the things that other people are looking to. It's not just about your basic needs or being entertained or how much stuff you have. It's really about seeking first the kingdom of God. This is the only time that Jesus tells us to seek something first, and that's his kingdom and his righteousness. My heart for us this season, as we're kind of stepping into a new season as a church, having an influx of people coming through, there's an excitement, right? There's an excitement in our midst of like, what is God going to do? How can we position ourselves for what God's going to do? And I would just encourage us to really seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, to not get bogged down in just looking at our needs. I just want a spouse. I just want a good job, a career. That we would be people who really trust in the Lord, who say, you know what? I'm going to seek the Lord first and foremost. When Jesus began his public ministry in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, he said this, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Okay, before we can first seek the kingdom of God, we must follow the call of Jesus to become a citizen of the kingdom. Right? The kingdom is near. It's at hand, Jesus says. And then he says, repent and believe the gospel. You've got to become a citizen of the kingdom. How does this happen? Jesus told a very religious man named Nicodemus that his religion was not enough to save him. You see, many people nowadays think that if you're religious, if you're a good person, then you should be good to go with God. Or at least you have a good chance of being good to go with God. But Jesus is very clear with this man Nicodemus, who was one of the head religious teachers in Israel. And he says this to Nicodemus in John 3, verse 3. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus looks at one of the most religious men in Israel and tells him, your religion will not save you. Jesus did not just come to give good people better lives. Right? That's not the point of the gospel. He's not just like, hey, I'm taking bad people and I'll make you good. Jesus is taking dead people and making them alive. You see, the Bible's clear that we are all spiritually dead in our sins, in our trespasses. But because of our sin and rebellion against God, we're cut off from having a relationship with God. You know, the thing that hangs up a lot of people nowadays is not really, it could be that we're sinners, but I think most people would say, yeah, you know what, I do fall short. I think one of the big barriers for people nowadays is their own good works. It's not the glaring sins that keep people out of the kingdom of God. It's the desire to cling to our own righteousness. It's this desire to perform, to have God indebted to us, to say, you know what, God, I've been a pretty good person. You owe me. Of course, we would never say that, but that's oftentimes how we act. We need to repent of our self-righteousness and our attempts to justify ourselves before a holy God. You'll never make it to heaven if you're seeking to be justified by your good works. Because how many times are our good works tainted with ill motives? We do good things, but oftentimes our heart's not in the right place. We're doing it begrudgingly. We're doing it complaining. Only Jesus can make us citizens of his kingdom. And he does this through the new birth. And as John 3 would go on, the famous verse, verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's a promise for us. For those who believe in Christ, those who put their faith in him, rest their full hope on Christ and his work on the cross. We will be saved. We will be made citizens of the kingdom. If you've never done that, if you're like, I don't know where I would go if I were to die, I pray that you would ask Jesus in, that you would repent of your sins, to do what it says there in Mark. Repent and believe the gospel. Have a change of mind that leads to a change of action. Receive the forgiveness that Christ is offering you. Receive his pardon and become a citizen of the kingdom. Once we become a citizen of the kingdom, we are called to prioritize the kingdom, which is what we're talking about in this passage. Jesus is saying, get your priorities straight. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This is a powerful verse, and this is a verse that I want to be on the forefront of our hearts and minds as we navigate this year. And for you students who are just starting school, as you're navigating the school year, allow this verse to really serve as an anchor for you. when you begin to lose your way, when you begin to get bogged down by anxiety and stress, that you would fix and focus your eyes on the Lord. Seek first His kingdom. He'll take care of the other details of your life. He loves you. He cares for you. If He cares enough to save your soul, if He cares enough to deal with your eternity, He cares about the little things. He cares about the big things that you think that He might not care about. Who you're going to marry, where you're going to work, where you're going to move. He cares about those things. You can trust Him with your future. You're safe in the hands of Christ. They're nail-pierced hands that are holding you. The very evidence of His love for you. And so we prioritize the kingdom. Thirdly, we pray for the kingdom of God to come in power. Right? Jesus taught us to pray this in Luke 11, verse 2. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, there's this already but not yet kind of thing in Christianity, right? We've talked about this before. Is the kingdom of God here? Yes, in one sense it is. In another sense, it's not fully here, right? It's like, we want the kingdom. Why else will we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, if the kingdom was already fully manifested here on earth? God's kingdom is breaking into our world. And we're to pray in light of this. This means we're not just focused on earth and the world and what's happening here. We're saying, no, you know what? We want God's kingdom to touch down on earth. We need to pray for that as a church. We need to pray for our community, for the churches in the area, that God's kingdom would come. You see, the kingdom of God is a lot bigger than our church. A lot of people don't understand this, right? In churches, oftentimes we can be tribalistic. I don't know if that's a word. We can be tribal, I should say. Us versus them kind of mentality. Oh, that person went to that church. Oh, they left this church and went to that church. You know what? Our tribalism, it's often exposed when someone leaves the church. Right? We're like, how could they leave? Why would they leave? Like, of course, we love them, we miss them. But you know what? The kingdom of God is a lot bigger than our church. And as Christians, we need to understand this, that we're all on Team Jesus. The kingdom of God is bigger than a local church. And so we rejoice with people. For those who feel called to another church, those who feel called to move, you know what? We're for them. We love them. We want God's kingdom to come in their life like it's coming in our lives. And we trust God with people. We say, you know what? This might feel like a blow to us, losing that people, losing students, losing other people, moving. But you know what? The kingdom of God is going forward. It's advancing. And the kingdom of God is so much bigger than our little world, our little box. And so I would just encourage us to expand our horizons a bit, to have this broad view. You know what? God's kingdom is advancing. And there's many local churches and expressions throughout the city, throughout our state, our world, and we rejoice because God's kingdom is advancing. You know, I think the question for us is this, like, if God, let's say God would not bless our church, let's say He's blessing every other church out there, and we feel like we're not getting blessed, could you still rejoice that God's kingdom is advancing? And I think that is a question we've got to ask ourselves. Are we for the kingdom of God, or are we just for the kingdom of God manifesting in the local expression of our church? I think God wants to bring a unity among believers. I think He's stirring something up in us to say, you know what? I praise God for you, Pastor. I praise God for Santa Barbara, for Calvary Chapel, for Reality, for different churches in the area. We want to be for the church as a whole. We want to be for the kingdom of God coming and for lives being changed. And so we pray, Lord, Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lastly, proclamation and demonstration. When it comes to the kingdom of God, we're to proclaim the kingdom and to demonstrate the kingdom. Look at what Jesus is doing in Matthew 4, verse 23. It says, "And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people." Jesus is on mission. He's doing his earthly ministry. He's teaching in the synagogues. He's proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Notice, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So the kingdom of God, we pray for it, but we also proclaim the kingdom. Just like Jesus was preaching the gospel, where to preach, where to share the message with people. The message of the gospel gives life. And so we could step out boldly and trust that God is working. Let's not limit what God wants to do. I love the quote that says, "Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God." We can pray, we can preach with expectation, with anticipation of how God's going to move. And that causes us to step out in faith, in boldness, to be bold in our witness of Christ. We want to live lives that aren't wasted. We want to fully redeem the time that we've been given. And the best way to do that is to live for the kingdom of God. Jesus demonstrated the kingdom. He was healing people. We should step out and pray for people. I'm not saying we have the same, you know, we're going to be doing things like Jesus was doing. But in the words of Jesus, he says, you know what? You're going to do greater things than even I've done. That's in the Bible. Jesus says, I got to go so that I could send the helper. And when I go, greater things will be done. It's pretty wild. Through the power of the Holy Spirit empowering us. It's amazing the promise that we have from Christ. And so we can step out. We can pray in faith. We can pray for those who are sick. We can pray for our loved ones who don't know Christ. We can pray with boldness and confidence, knowing that God hears us and that he's faithful to move in his time. I pray that the gospel would fuel us this week, our passion to seek the Lord above all else. That this would always move us, and that we would remember how the kingdom ultimately comes. It comes through the death of the king. The king leaves his throne on high, says, you know what, I'm going to enter into their broken world, the mess that they've made. I'm going to bring the kingdom, but in order to bring the king must suffer and die. He dies for rebel subjects. He dies for the people who he's created. The people who gave life were the very ones who crucified him, the King of Glory. This is what melts our hearts. This is what moves us. This is what motivates us to go and live lives for his kingdom, because the King has given us his life. He's proved his love for us. No one will ever love you like Jesus loves you. May we honor his life, his death, his resurrection, knowing that one day he'll return for us. That we will live our lives for his glory. That our hope would be steadfast in him. And they would seek first the kingdom of God and see him move in a mighty way in our generation. Amen.